from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, initially the plan was to play the ones this week because of the injuries and the lack of availability. We're going to take the ones out, play the other guys, take a good look at them. It should be a good opportunity for them to put their best foot forward and for us to have a strong evaluation of that part of the roster.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, that's from yesterday's Zoom call with the media. My buddy John Scott, part of that as well. He's on the line right now, the Western Hotline, WGRZ-TV2 sports director. Sorry, I was going to say chief meteorologist. No, that's Patrick Hammer. You're not doing the weather these days. You're doing the sports, right?
Correct.
All right.
I'll stick with what at least I believe I know best. There's probably people on Twitter that would say otherwise.
I mean, yeah, listen, I don't know if you heard the call I just had. Like, same thing. I just had a guy call. His name was Chuck. And Chuck was telling me how the Bills are just way too small everywhere and they're not a tough team and they need these bigger guys. And I had someone on Twitter say, I can't believe you got to hang up on this guy. And I said, listen, if I hang up on him, I'm called a jerk. If I don't hang up on him, I say, why didn't you hang up on him? It's always a double-edged sword, right, when it comes to social media. You don't really know how to treat it. But his overall point was about the injuries, and this is dovetailing from my talk a little bit earlier where I said, John, I don't know. I don't go to the training staff, right, and some issue there. This is football. This is what happens. And unfortunately, right now, the Bills are just running into a whole bunch of guys that are getting hurt playing football.
I'm really disappointed in you. How dare you subject listeners to logic and reason? Come on. What is wrong with you? Yes, that is this is the way of the world in the National Football League. Deion Dawkins, well, certainly not a mathematician, says it's 100 or 110% injury rate in the National Football League. We get the point. Everyone gets hurt. I mean, it may not eventually get to the point for everyone where they miss significant amount of time, but it's a barbaric sport where guys are flying around and athletes have never been better at playing this game, which the speed of everything, the strength, everything, the power, everything is amplified unlike this game has ever seen before, and that's why these things happen. You cannot prevent someone rolling up on Matt Milano. You cannot prevent someone rolling up on Terrell Bernard or Matt or Von Miller a couple of years ago, or even Josh Allen throwing from the pocket and getting hits in the arm. That's just what happens when guys are flying around at such an incredible speed. It's unfortunate, certainly, and it all amazingly compounds at once for the Bills right now, and that's what amplifies this and drives people to, as I heard you say earlier, you want to find answers to all of these questions. Why is this happening? Sometimes the answer is simple. It's just because that's what happens. And it happens to everyone across the league.
Yeah, players will always tell you there's a 100% injury rate, meaning that every player gets hurt in some capacity. It's a tough game. It's for tough people. There's no doubt about that. I've heard other people say that, and you know, I know that's a phrase you've heard coaches say, but unfortunately, you know, injuries are a part of the game, and this year it just seems like the Bills are having more of them than usual. Now, that said, we see the list. I said earlier, my biggest concern right now is wide receiver until I know what the situation is with Curtis Samuel. But you certainly have injuries at linebacker. You have injuries at safety. Where's your biggest concern right now? Even backup quarterback. Where's your biggest concern right now, given all the injuries?
I'd say safety, because communication, while it's not as easily tangible to see and understand from a you're in the seats perspective, I think we're going to see, and we got a little taste of it a couple of years ago, that the nuances that Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde were able to provide with their communication being so good individually, so good as a tandem, and then able to distribute that knowledge and their greatness to the rest of the defense, especially the secondary, I think maybe we're going to really understand how important that was. Yeah, Taylor Rapp was here last year, and yes, he's been healthy, but you need to communicate with more than one person. And to me, DeMar Hamlin now going down, he's been the one standing next to him, and now Cole Bishop, Mike Edwards, Sean McDermott continues to emphasize, okay, they may be getting out there, but they're new guys. Do they even know what we're doing? And in training camp, Rasul Douglas was amazingly candid when he said, hey, there's some points, I'll be honest, as a corner. I don't really know what's going on, so I rely on the safeties to kind of guide me pre-snap. And if those safeties either haven't been in the system long in the instances of Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop, or they don't have the good communication between themselves and Taylor Rapp, I think that could really have some ramifications throughout the rest of the defense, especially in the secondary. Yes, Terrell Bernard in the middle is a great communicator and someone who is the quarterback of that side of the ball, but he's now also going to have to work with someone that he has limited experience with to the side of him. So I think the safety position, because I'll be honest with you, at wide receiver, I kind of look at them all as jumbled together. It doesn't mean that some can't separate from the others, but I didn't prior to the injuries, and I still don't have any great expectations that anyone's going to elevate into this one or two. So to me, if you have to throw someone in for Curtis Samuel or throw someone in for Marquez Valdez-Scantling, yeah, I think you could definitely surmise, you know, maybe there will be a drop, but I don't think the gap is going to be something where it's going to be incredibly notable for how I feel this offense is going to run.
All right, that said, what have you seen from the wide receiver group? Let's go to Keon Coleman, what you've seen from him last week. A lot made of that play in the end zone, obviously. He didn't come up with that. That's three passes to the end zone over the first two games. Has not, you know, come up with, for different reasons, him, and also the bottom end now of the depth chart, I guess I'll call it that, and, you know, where you see this shaking out with MVS's injury.
Keon Coleman's inconsistent, and there are elements to his game that he needs to improve. We knew that, right? When he was drafted, that's why he fell to the second round. That's why there was a handful plus of other wide receivers drafted before him. We knew what we're kind of seeing play out here in preseason of what Keon Coleman was good at, what Keon Coleman still needs to get better at. My expectations for him were marginal, and which is fine for a first-year wide receiver. They're just obviously maybe not good enough for some people, because they're looking for a one-for-one. They have to replace Stephon Diggs, or they have to replace Gabe Davis, and the list goes on. No one from the wide receiver group in totality has stood out to me, which, again, my expectations were I didn't really think anyone would. I think they're all just a bunch of different pieces that it's going to be more so on Joe Brady and then, in extension, Josh Allen to just kind of make it work. And so if you lose Curtis Samuel, that's the one I think of note, because I think he actually was going to be integral into what they wanted to do. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, to me, has been underwhelming, and I didn't think that he was going to move the needle a whole lot when they signed him, and the injury now just compounds that to saying, well, I don't think because of just the body count they could move on from him. But to me, if Tyrell Shavers has to get elevated for the MBS snaps, I'm not too concerned about it. And I think that position is just so deep in general. They can make it work if they need to, and maybe just go through the tight ends more, which could be what they want to do anyways.
Where do you... Yeah, you talk about Tyrell Shavers. Where do you see the tight end position with Zach Davidson now and his emergence and, you know, Quentin Morris and his injury? Even if Quentin Morris stays healthy, do you think Zach Davidson has a shot to beat him out, or is it got to be maybe due to injury only?
So I originally thought six wide receivers was definitely what they were going to do based upon, again, this collective idea at the position. But as camp has gone on, kind of taking into account what I have or have not seen from the wide receivers and what I have.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And have more of what I have seen from the tight ends. I started shifting, and I think I'm at... even with the injuries, four tight ends and five wide receivers, which would put Zach Davidson and Quentin Morris in there should Morris be healthy enough. Because you saw it in the Pittsburgh game before he got hurt, Quentin Morris is good, and he's well-rounded, and they love the idea of bringing guys into their system, developing them, and Zach Davidson just seems to be the next in line with that. But I'm not sure he has a well-rounded enough game to justify, hey, we're going to keep Davidson over Morris. So as I currently sit, and we have to wait and see the extent of the Morris injury, I would go with four tight ends and five wide receivers, putting Davidson and Morris on the roster.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm with you on a lot of that. I would have had Davidson, you know, passing Morris until the last couple of weeks when you really get a full picture of what they feel about Morris. And we all knew what, you know, they thought about him. But now you see it even more so because Davidson's not doing all those kinds of things. John Scott here on the Western Hotline. All right, John, let's give the people what they want. Joe Andreessen, what you thought about his game. And this is becoming a more than a local cool story now, right? I mean, I said yesterday and I tweeted, I don't care if the guy's from Wyoming. I mean, we're talking about him legitimately maybe making the roster at this point.
100%, and I said it at the end of our newscast, which, because of the DNC, wasn't until 1 a.m. So most people probably didn't hear it because I almost fell asleep in studio myself. But this is beyond. This is not just this is really cool. The guy from Lancaster who went to UP is making some plays in preseason games. No, he legit, I agree with you. This is a story because of the player, not because of where the player is from. It's also now elevating into a legit reality for him to make the team because of the injuries. Baylen Specter just can't stay healthy. And I'm not saying they're going to move on from him, but Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean, hammer the table this time of year on availability is the best thing and best case for guys to make the team. He's also, not only is he available in terms of Joe Andreessen, but he's making the most of his opportunities. Another thing that Sean McDermott loves to point out to showcase to the rest of this team, hey, when you get your shot, you must be prepared and you must perform and you will get rewarded for that. They're not just going to hand him a roster spot because it's a cool story, but I think he showed some things that as a depth linebacker on this team, he's definitely building a case strongly that, hey, I should get in here maybe more than some of these veterans who have been in and out of the lineup with injuries and things like that. I think he has a legit case because I heard you say this yesterday, and it's true. On top of this, the world knows now about Joe Andreessen. The tape is out there. He's done enough good things that smart football people across the league are taking note of. And I don't think they could get him on their practice squad. I think it would definitely be something of, all right, do we want him to be our fifth or sixth linebacker, especially considering the injuries that are piling up, or do we want to lose him? And I think at this point, barring something unforeseen, I think Joe Andreessen has a really good shot to make this team.
You know, it's interesting to me, John. Someone pointed this out. I didn't know this till someone pointed it out, and I looked it up, and it's true. Andreessen actually went to Chiefs rookie tryout camp as well. You know, I mean, like, it's not like the Bills just gave this guy an invite because he's Joe Andreessen from Lancaster and UB. Like, he was a guy that performed pretty high at a high level in college in his two stops at Bryant and at UB, and then teams didn't draft him, but they said, hey, you know, we'll give you a he didn't sign as a UDFA, but come, we'll see what you have. So it's not like he was already an unknown before last Saturday. The Chiefs also brought him in, and let's just say you release him at the end of camp. That's a team, for example, may say, look, we had him in. We thought enough about him. We just saw him on film. We're going to claim him and put him on our 53.
Absolutely. And there are certainly other rosters around the league that have the flexibility and room to take a flyer on a guy who flashed in the preseason who was young and cheap. And I think the Bills, especially considering where they are with the Milano out and definitely unknown about Baylen Spector, when he'll come back, Nicholas Morrow's starting to come back, but you haven't really seen much of him. And you saw, there's a reason. And again, Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich and this team is not starting Joe Andreessen in the second preseason game with the rest of the starters because they think it's a cool story. They clearly have seen enough from that kid who, as Sean pointed out, was a rookie camp invite to have understanding of the defense well enough to tell other guys like Greg Rousseau and Dorian Williams and all of these other starters where to go. And I think that, to me, is the most important thing that both Babich and McDermott really harp on with young players is the importance of understanding the playbook and the challenge of that. And for them to trust him in that setting this early, I think that says a lot about where they believe he is and what they believe he can do as a depth piece. Again, let's not get crazy.
Right.
This is the next diamond in the rough here that's going to make up for Matt Milano being out. No, I think it's more of a, hey, let's temper expectations. He won't sink if thrown into the deep end, God forbid, come regular season time.
I will say after the break, because I want to get to one more thing with you, I'm going to point out something about Joe Andreessen's raw athletic score coming out last year. I want to point that out. But first of all, to wrap up with you, Guardians-Yanks tonight, buddy. All right, starting a series. All right, big series for both clubs. Now, the Guardians have a 2.5-game lead in the AL Central. The Yanks have a half-game lead over the Orioles in the AL East. They are only separated, the Guardians and Yankees, by a half game. 73-52 for the Yanks, 72-52 for the Guardians. I know there's a lot of fans of both teams here in Western New York. Tell us a little bit about your Guardians, and I know you don't get a chance to watch them all the time, unfortunately, because of the way it's set up here, but what are you expecting from the Guardians in this series? What have you seen?
They've been struggling. They've been struggling of late. It's lose 5-6 in a row, win 3 in a row, lose 3-4 in a row. They're leaking oil. And this was my concern with their lack of substantial activity at the trade deadline. There are issues with the roster. They have a great bullpen, but I firmly believe you can't ride a bullpen hard. Like, if you get to them great. But maybe in a playoff series, my buddy swears that they could do this because of the structure of the schedule and off days. But you got to get there. Emmanuel Clase, I mean, holy smokes. That dude legit. It's crazy to think about a closer in the Cy Young competition. But he's having one of the all-time great seasons for a relief pitcher. He's almost unhittable. But you got to get to him. The starting rotation, all the way back to Shane Bieber losing him for the entire season. I mean, they're trying to find some guys to plug in there. If they can get five or six out of them, great. But that's not necessarily been the easiest task of late. And then offensively, they're better this year than they've been in years past. Jose Ramirez is incredible. He's not in the Aaron Judge realm of the MVP conversation, but I definitely think he once again will be a top five guy in there. They're a fun team. They do things differently. Stephen Kwan is a great hitter, but they're leaking oil. So that's where I think, while we're only mid-August, the division is tight enough. You want to still continue to compete with the Yankees and in Baltimore to try to be the top team in the AL overall. But I think it's a big series. Unfortunately, because these are the few games I ever get to watch here, like on YES, every time I turn on a Yankees-Guardians game, the Yankees are just smoking them. So my expectations are low, but I'm glad I get to see them for once. And, you know, just let's have some good ball to keep me encouraged enough that when they inevitably meet in October and you and Sal Majorana and all you ding-dongs, Matt Parrino will say, go Yankees, that me and Josh Reed and others can at least have some footing to say, not so fast, my friend.
Matthew Boyd against Louis Heel tonight. Enjoy it, but I'll see you down here in a little while for practice. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks.
All right, you got it. John Scott right there on the West Her Hotline. All right, I'm going to take a timeout. Vince, stay with me. As soon as I come back, I'm going to get you your call, I promise, all right? We'll get to Vince. And I got to point something out to everybody, and I'm going to tweet about it too here in the break. Joey Andreessen from something back in April when he was considered a prospect coming out in this year's draft where he wasn't drafted, all right? We'll do that when we come back in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.